Welcome to episode 52 of Talking Prisoner. We have a guest with us today that I actually recently had to become a private detective to find. She's been that under the radar. And we are talking to Susan Gurin, who played Barbara Fields in Prisoner. Welcome to Talking Prisoner, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Matt. It's an honour to be here.
We're very honoured to have you on the show today, and we're looking forward to learning about your life growing up. Where did you grow up as a child?
I grew up in Adelaide.
Adelaide.
In Adelaide, Australia. I grew up in a very loving environment, but it wasn't the easiest. It was a difficult childhood in many ways, only in the respect that my mother had a lot of mental illness. It wasn't diagnosed at the time. She was bipolar. But I just remember as a child many weeks of mum, when she was high, she was really on a high with a lot of mania. And then when she, dear thing, was on a low, a lot of depression, couldn't get out of bed for weeks on end. And it was just shock treatment at the time. You know, mum wasn't really diagnosed then, so she wasn't on the correct medication. And then I think my poor old father, he drank to compensate, I think. So there are a lot of unhappy times, but I mean, they were loving parents, and we as kids didn't want for anything. We had everything we wanted, and fortunately, through the worst of it, mum's bad times, dad was able to have, we had living help, and we had a couple of funny people, memories I have, these ladies that came to look after us. We had a lady, Mrs. Moss, and Mrs. Moss, all she ever seemed to cook for us is fried bread, and my sister and I love that. I don't know how good it was for us. But, and then another lovely lady, Santa. And Santa was from Spain, and she arrived. She couldn't speak any English at all. And I remember we had a birthday celebration. It was my birthday. And I must have been young at the time because I didn't really realise, and she gave us a card. And it was a sympathy card, not a birthday card. And all the adults were cracking up. Poor old Santa, she didn't realise. I just thought it was a pretty card because it had lots of flowers. And but those sort of things stick in your mind. And I think my background probably led me to live a lot in, I was an avid reader at the time. I loved burying myself in the world of make-believe, fantasy. So I loved reading. I read all the famous five books that are now politically incorrect, but I loved them. So I read, there were always adventures happening. And then I loved all the Anne of Green Gables books and all of that series. And I think, that's where my fantasy world came from. I think I just always role played.
Yeah. I think everything's politically incorrect now, isn't it?
Seems to be, doesn't it?
It's funny you really talk about
I might say something politically incorrect today. Probably will, being my generation.
It's funny you talked about the sympathy cards. My grandma back in the day used to, she'd get the Christmas cards that she was given, then she'd cut the front of them off and then use them as cards to give to people the year after. So we'd always get the front of cards for Christmas. It was funny story.
Oh, that is funny. Yeah, well, she was very thrifty.
Yeah, it was. I think I stole Ken's question. But I'll
steal yours.
You can have mine.
Can you tell us, Susan, what you liked at school? What were you like at school? And did you have a favourite or an unfavourite subject?
Look, I think I was a good student at school. I actually liked school. I loved drama classes, of course, and I loved English history. I hated with a passion maths. In fact, and to this day, I still do. I'm not very good with figures, and I'm not good with maps either. to this day, I can still remember the teachers at my school wrote in one of my reports, and it must have been year seven or year eight, "We have taught Susan all she'll ever know about mathematics." Because every time I would just tune out. I don't think it was more the fact that I couldn't do it. It's just that I wouldn't do it. I just hated it. So I didn't listen. I didn't pay any attention. Mm-hmm. I would read in the class, you know, with a book.
Well, you're not alone. We've had 52 episodes so far, and there's only been one person that's loved maths, and that was Lois Collender. The rest hated it.
Is that right? Is that right? Yeah. Isn't it funny? We're all of the same breed, I think. Yeah. We're not scientists. We're not on that scientific bent.
Oh, that's funny. That's very funny.
Yeah.
Ken's question.
Oh, okay. I thought we were still into stealing mode. Okay, tell us your first job that you were after school. What was
when I left after school? Well, actually, the very first job that I did, it was dental nursing, but I didn't like that really. I actually almost went straight into acting because I knew I wanted to be an actress when I was very, very young. I was in the school, I played the lead in the school play in grade five. I was the queen. I can't remember the name of the play, but this is so funny. I can still remember the very opening line because it was my line. As soon as the curtains opened, it was 5:30. "It cannot be, for the rosebud's dance I have yet to see." I can still remember that. So I love that. So I knew back then that I wanted to be an actress. And what led on from there, after that, I remember my mother taking me to a couple of live productions, which I just loved. And I was very young at the time, probably about 10. And she took me to see My Fair Lady and West Side Story at Her Majesty's Theatre in Adelaide. And I was just mesmerised. I loved it. I sat on the edge of my seat the whole time. Wow. I took it all in. I just loved it. And it was probably those musicals at that time that really inspired me. I would have loved to have actually been a singer. And back at school, I actually thought I was quite a good singer. But the class used to think I was quite a good singer too, because when anyone, I can still remember them, well, I don't know if they asked me or I asked myself, probably. I just stood up in front of the class and sang, what did I sing? "You Are My Sunshine." That was about grade seven. I loved it. So I was always, I liked to show off.
Yep.
I did. I think I was a bit of a show off. And then
you see shows and things now, or do you like to see theatre productions now?
I don't see a lot now. It's interesting. Way back then, I certainly did. And when I was still at school, I competed in drama festivals. Okay. There was a combined schools drama festival way back in Adelaide. Every year it was the Therry Society combined Catholic Schools Festival. Actually, one year. And my last year, no, it would have been, look, I can't remember dates or times, year 10, year 11, something like that. And I won the Best Actress Award. And it was after that, then I got a phone call from an agent in Adelaide, South Australian casting agent, Anne Peters. I think you know her.
Anne, yes.
Matt?
She's a very interesting lady, Anne.
Yeah.
Hello,
yeah,
Anne, if you're watching.
Yeah, she's. I think she's still even working there.
Oh, she is. Yeah, she's very, very busy.
So yeah, she's a busy lady.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So after that, it all sort of it started for me because I remember this chap, John Dick, his name was at the time. He came around to my parents' house and asked. He was filming this commercial and he wanted me to be on it, and it was for an Amsco ice cream. That was the very first thing that I ever did. And I did that. And then, so it actually, my acting career took off at a very young age anyway. And from there, it was mostly stage. And then when I went into professional, it was radio, a lot of radio and voiceovers at the time.
What did your parents think about you wanting to be an actress?
I think they thought it was just a bit of a joke, really. And I don't think that they thought that I was really serious about it, because they weren't that inclined at all. There was no background, no theatrical background in my family at all, except my mother was very creative. Mum actually was very talented in her own way. She was a brilliant pianist. I thought she was brilliant because she could play by ear. She could play anything by ear. You only had to just hum a song. And often Mum and I would play You Are My Sunshine, and I'd sing the high part and she'd sing the low part. And we did lots of things like that together. But she always thought she was hopeless because she couldn't read music. And I just think it's brilliant to be able to just hear a tune and be able to start to play like she did. So that's probably where I got my creative side from.
Wow. Yeah.
Anyway, I've got off the track now.
That's okay. Ken will bring us back on.
Yes. Was there anyone that you had admired or who inspired you to get into acting?
Well, as I said, it all first started from the live productions, which, you know, I would still love to go and see, but I haven't actually been to any for a long time. But, of course, we've had COVID and all of that. But, yeah, look, I was always mesmerised as a child growing up by all the Hollywood actresses in the 50s, you know, the older ones. Well, they're all gone now, I suppose. People like Audrey Hepburn, Eleanor Parker, Grace Kelly, Vivian Leigh in Gone with the Wind. I just loved all those movies. I'd just be transfixed and I'd watch them over and over and over again. Yeah.
Different style. It's amazing. I love those old black and white movies, and the acting is so different.
Well, it is. It's very theatrical, isn't it? And I suppose actually, and I know this is probably another question you want to ask me, but while we're talking about that, I think when I first started, and I was always very theatrical, and of course being theatrical works well on stage and it works well on radio, and I love that, but not so well on TV. And I think when I first started Prisoner, and I look back now and I have seen a couple of the first episodes or highlights from the first few episodes, and I cringe, Matt. You know, I think, oh, so overacted. But you see, I just come from that medium of stage and radio, and
See, I didn't see your part like that. I saw you as this, you know, this elegant, posh character that came in that should never have been in jail, that from this high party life. Like, I thought your acting was brilliant. It was so bang on, you know. It's interesting.
Funny you should say that. Yeah, it's funny you should say that. David says that. My husband, he said, oh, no, that's just right for the part. Because I did actually, it was a real challenge to me. I found the part quite difficult in the respect that I felt, I would have much rather played a character like the freak, but I didn't have the stature, obviously, but that kind of character. Or I would have loved to have played Archie Whiteley's character.
Oh, Donna Mason, yeah.
She was the prostitute junkie or Mouth or any of those, the real characters, or even Queen Bee, but I wouldn't have had the stature for that either. I didn't look the part. But, something. It was so challenging to be, because there was Barbara, Miss Innocence, and yet she wasn't. She was actually quite a schemer, so manipulative in her own way. So yeah. Anyway, and I didn't really like her. I didn't really like the person that she was.
Yes, she was now a fascinating character.
Pardon?
She was a very fascinating character. you created like that character. You could think of a lot of backstories with your character. It was just, you know, you could imagine her out in public running companies and men falling at her feet, and you know, you could manipulate all that. I just felt they could have done so much more with your character on the show, to be honest. Yeah, but we'll get to that.
Well, it's funny that, I when I first began there, it was going to be just the 3 months, and I was on Prisoner for 3 months, and that was the deal. I think they, with an option to continue if they wanted to, but I really think they didn't know what to do with Barbara.
Yeah.
After that time. And and let's face it, I wasn't your usual criminal type.
Just going back a little bit, do you have any hobbies that you like to do in your spare time?
Yeah, well, I love cooking. Perhaps not as much as I used to now because I prefer to be outdoors. But, yeah, cooking was always a passion of mine. And, I know not many people would know that I actually started a restaurant in Adelaide. Actually, it started off to be a little takeaway, but it actually became a full-blown cafe restaurant. We got a liquor license in the end. And, we were actually probably one of the first places in Adelaide to do the Sunday morning or weekend breakfasts. Although I think from memory we only did it on Sunday mornings, and we did it al fresco. We got an outdoor license from the council to be able to do outdoor meals. So it was fantastic because before that you couldn't. You couldn't get
what young people wouldn't know these days is that breakfast was just, you couldn't go every morning to have breakfast.
No, you couldn't go anywhere. It was only starting then. And In fact, I don't know if you can see this or if your fans will be able to see this. I'll hold it up in front of my face. That's the write-up that we had back in Adelaide at the time, Breakfast in Provence. And I was around about 40, I think, at the time. And, it's something that I'm very proud of. I couldn't have done it without my son, Mike, the one that you saw on Facebook, Matt, and traced down through Mike. Because Mike was in the kitchen and my father was doing the books and I was front of house. And that's how it all started. We obviously had more staff and we grew. And it was a fabulous time. Lots of funny stories.
What sort of food did you do there?
Well, we called it a taste of Provence, which was, looking back, probably a little bit arrogant, really, of me, because I've been to Paris. I actually haven't been to Provence. But what inspired me originally, I read Peter Mayle's books way back when, A Year in Provence, Toujours Provence, and there was another one. I love those. And I loved everything about in the south of France, the food, the way they ate, what was fresh and seasonal on the day. And I thought, no, we can do this. That's a good thing about when you're younger too. You always think you can do everything, which is good. A bit like Richard Branson's father. I believe he used to say, screw it, just do it.
Yeah.
And if I'd listened to all the negativity at the time, because I think people thought, God, what do you know about restaurants? Then I would never have done it. So it just goes to show you have to just get in there and do it. And it started off to be a little takeaway, and then it just grew into this, as I said, full-blown licensed restaurant, which, we had, I can tell you some funny stories about that time. There was one funny story and I didn't expect to be so busy this day. We'd not long been open, but I think word quickly travelled, and I had to wash tea towels. We had no tea towels, and so I had to take them to the laundromat, and I did that pretty early in the morning. And then I came back, and I could see things were buzzing at the shop, and they were busy and flat out. So I left my tea towels, because I stayed there at the laundromat, washed, dried them, and took them straight from the dryer and put them in the laundry bag, put it straight into the car, rushed back, rushed in to the shop. We were so busy that day that I never actually got back. And are you still there, Matt?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, that's all right. A funny thing came onto my screen and I thought, oh, God, I lost you. No, that's all right. Anyway, what happened? So the tea towels stayed in the car all day long, and God, it was about 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock at night. I went to go home, went out to the car, opened the door, and the whole car blew up. Wow. It was like a bomb. It blew up. I thought someone had put a bomb in my car. We had, there were fireworks, there were ambulances, everything happened, and it was spontaneous combustion with the tea towels.
Jeez. Wow. So
I'll never forget that time. So, yeah, anyway, that was those times way back then. Yeah.
But did insurance cover that, or was that your fault for putting details in a car?
Well, you wouldn't want to know the story of that. Would you believe I actually, much to my father's dismay, because Dad used to do the books, and I didn't have car insurance at the time. And do you know, I was trying to, because my dear father sort of helped prop us up, especially for the first 12 months of running the shop, because, you know, it takes a long time to get a business going. So dear old Dad would come to the rescue and prop us up a bit. And I felt that he'd given us so much help that I thought, oh, God, I have to try and save money here and there where I can. And foolishly, I pulled out of my health insurance at that time. And I didn't realise that the health insurance and the car insurance, et cetera, were all tied up together. Don't ask me. Stupid. Anyway, when I went to claim insurance from SGIC, I think it was. I don't know. It doesn't matter. I didn't have it. So I lost this brand new Honda Civic that I had at the time.
Oh, no. Wow.
Yes. Did you ask your dad for another one?
Hey?
Did you ask your dad for another one?
I went to car auctions after that. But that was a funny story. So I've always, always, always made sure everything's been insured ever since.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, this is going to be a letdown. What's your favourite food?
well, anything Mediterranean.
Nothing that blows up. Not Bomb Alaska.
Bomb Alaska. I loved that as a kid. Yeah, yeah. No, anything Mediterranean. I love a fish soup, stew. I call it bouillabaisse, but it's probably really just a fish stew, and that's one of my favourites at the moment. But really, I just love anything simple, you know, simple and fresh flavours, lots of tomatoes, lots of olives, always have homemade chicken stock and usually homemade nice tomato sauce, roast capsicum sauce. You can make lots of good things with all that.
Definitely. Do you have a favourite TV show?
I don't watch a lot of TV now, Matt, but I do like the cooking shows, MasterChef. Right. I like listening to Rick Stein.
I love his show.
Yeah, I love his shows, and he's just so relaxing to watch, isn't he, as well? You know, he's so natural and calm and,
I just love how you get a bit of a history lesson of where he is as well. It's not just the food.
Exactly. Exactly.
Other things as well. It's great.
Yeah. So I often watch repeats of his. I never get sick of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks. And another funny story I can tell you from the shop that people might like, because I remember we had a food critic, Margaret Glastonbury, I think was her name. I always get them muddled up with Margaret Fulton, Margaret Glasbrook. Margaret Glastonbury, she was an Adelaide food writer, and she came to do a critique on us. And you'll never guess this one day what happened, because it was a very small shop in the respect that the kitchen where we worked was very close to the dining area where everybody sat. And we had at the kitchen sink, we had one of those long extendable hoses. And you know those ones that, well, if you turn on the pressure too hard, they just go like snakes.
Yes.
And anyway, this happened this one day. So someone turned the tap on and the hose went nuts. They lost control of the hose. Water everywhere. All out into the dining area. And Margaret Glastonbury, I'm sure it was. I can still remember her looking up. She had glasses on, and I can still remember the water running down her glasses and all down her face. And I think we still got a positive write-up from her, guys.
What do you think of food reviewers? I'm not a really big fan of them. I prefer to go and try it myself before I read someone's review of something.
Yeah, I do too. I do too, Matt. And I sometimes think, what, are they just pushing it? Is it just advertising so we go there?
Yeah.
And, which happens most of the time, because if you listen to it and you think, oh, this sounds good, and you go there, invariably you're often disappointed.
Yeah, it's really interesting that. And then, you know, someone that doesn't maybe like a fish curry and they're a food reviewer and they're eating the fish curry, oh, I don't like this, it's not nice.
That's right. So it can make you or break you, really.
Yeah.
They don't do it as often as they used to, do they? But
well, I think because of social media now, food reviewers just have no job, which is good.
Yeah, that's right, because exactly.
Because you've got a friend that goes out and has a meal and they put it up on Facebook and you go, oh, geez, that looks good, I'm going to go and try it.
There's exactly. That's right. That's exactly right, yeah. But you see, because I don't do Facebook, I should.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah.
Tell us, did you do any acting training, and was there, if you did, was there anyone we might have heard of in the same year?
Now I'm not crying.
Oh, you got hay fever or an allergy? Hay
fever. I'm not crying. I'm not crying because I didn't do any acting training. I actually didn't really do any acting training, but I didn't attend NIDA or any of those traditional drama schools, but I actually do have an associate diploma in speech and drama from the Trinity College of London. I did examinations in Adelaide at Adelaide University, but you know, in many ways, sometimes looking back, I actually think that probably worked against me. Probably, and when I say worked against me, how can I put this so that maybe I sounded too correct, maybe I sounded too British, which is maybe where everyone's got the idea that I was a UK actress, which I'm not.
Oh, you're not? Okay.
I don't know. I've often thought about that, but I thought it seemed to work against me when I went for auditions for, I don't know, I should have gone to London.
Yeah.
It was great for the stage, but when, you know, perhaps for some film work or television work, it perhaps worked against me because I didn't sound like a local. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's okay. I mean, a lot of people, was at the time NIDA and all those places somewhere where you wanted to go, or you sort of felt you didn't need to?
I would have liked to, but I had young children. I was married young. I had children young. So it really wasn't that feasible for me. See, I had the kids. My boys were young when I was doing Prisoner. In fact, I remember a funny story from those days. The boys came and they were very young, very little at the time. But they were so upset to see Mummy in prison.
You're really there.
Yeah.
Wow. And keep an eye on the time. Should we move on to Prisoner? Just so we.
Yeah, I've probably spoken too much.
No, it's all good. Actually, before we do though, you did become a nurse at one stage. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. I've forgotten about that, haven't I? And I love that. Yes, I did. I stopped acting. You see, my bread and butter and everything way back when was radio voiceovers. I did a lot of radio dramas at the ABC. Dracula, what else was there? Another one that I... The Diary of Anne Frank. And actually, that's interesting because I did that with Judy Davis, you know, who starred in My Brilliant Career. Wow. Judy played Anne and I played her sister Margot in The Diary of Anne Frank. So there were there was a lot happening at that time. Now, get me back on track, Matt. What were we talking about?
You being a nurse.
Me being a nurse, that's right. So, yeah, I got caught up with the drama. But what happened then was around about that time, and I think it was the 1980s, the government cut back a lot of its funding. So a lot of those radio dramas were ceased. Actually, they ceased to make them in Adelaide, and it was all just done from Sydney. So for local actors like myself, there really wasn't much work around. I still did, you know, the occasional voiceovers or the work I could get, commercials, voiceovers, that was the main. But anyway, I needed a real job. So that was what actually led me into nursing, because I thought, well, if anything would appeal, and funnily enough, I always thought emergency nursing would appeal to me because I love drama, obviously. Wow. But actually, I didn't go into emergency nursing. I specialised in oncology, which I actually loved. And I'm very proud of that because that's one of the things that I think I did help to make a difference in a lot of people's lives. Oncology is something that you get to know people very well, and their families very well, and you form, you know, really close bonds.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed that. Then I actually... When we moved up to the Sunshine Coast, I won't go into it, I've had a lot of different moves, a lot of different houses, and my husband wasn't very well, and so we went up to the Sunshine Coast mostly for the weather, and then I was still nursing then, and it was like a busy general practice, and we had an emergency room, like a little emergency room, and I was the team leader there. So I loved that, and, you know, the doctors there were Sri Lankan doctor, one from Burma, one from Samoa, actually. That's how they pronounce it. And where else from? Oh, all over. And it was so interesting to see the, you know, different ways they practice medicine, different ways they related to patients. So I loved all that. So, yeah, that was my nursing.
Wow.
I'm from nursing now.
Paramedics.
Paramedics
and nurses, they're just not paid enough, really, for the work they do.
No, I think everybody knows that.
Yeah.
But hopefully that will change. I think nurses, by nature of most nurses are kind people and caring people, and in the past have not really stood up for themselves and for what they deserve, I think. Just quietly been in the background, being little Florence Nightingales. But I think that day's changing now.
Yeah, definitely. Now, Prisoner, you appeared in, 26 episodes from episode 300 of series 4 in 1982 to the end of the year in episode 326, which was one of the series cliffhangers. You played Barbara Fields. Now, how did you get the part of Barbara on Prisoner?
Well, I just auditioned. South Australian Casting auditioned me. It was a videotape and it was sent over to Melbourne. And I remember, and I heard back a couple of days later, and I got the part.
So did you have to move to Melbourne for the time?
No, I didn't. Filming was during the week, so I would fly over on the Monday, either the Sunday night or the Monday. We'd film Monday to Friday, and then I'd go back on the weekends because I had the boys at home. So, yeah.
Was that exciting as a young actress to be flying across the Melbourne?
It was very exciting. And I just thought, why not? You know, you get these opportunities in life and you just do it. And, you know,
were you actually aware of the show prior to getting the role?
Oh, yes, I was. I don't think I'd ever seen too many episodes, but, yeah, I certainly was aware of it. And I think the show had probably been running for about 5 years, before I started, which was, 1982?
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, I think.
And what did you think of Barbara when you got the part? What did you think of the character breakdown of Barbara?
Well, I think I explained to you, she was challenging to me. As I said, I would have rather been Freak, or I would have rather been Archie Whiteley's character, you know, junkie so Barbara was challenging because she was portrayed as a total innocent, really, but she was not. She was manipulative and she was quite scheming in her own way. And I don't think I ever actually knew exactly how the directors wanted me to play her. That was a bit of an issue for me at the time. Someone would say something and someone else would give me some conflicting advice. So it was challenging. I had to nut it out for myself.
Wow.
And as I said, I look back now, Matt, and I think, oh, my God, to me it was so overacted when I first started, you know, coming from stage, which I love stage, and radio, where everything had to be bigger, larger than life.
Yes.
And TV is just a totally different medium, you know, just like you and I talking now.
Yeah. No, it is.
And definitely. So I think I improved as the show went on. Looking back now, as I said, I find it really hard to watch those first few episodes. And I'm like, I think you're amazing. No, you did well. But there you go.
I think we've covered that that next question from me.
We have. Now, did you know anyone in the show going in? Were you friends with anyone that were on the show?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't know anyone going in. But Colette Mann, who played Doreen, she was so warm and friendly. I had my first few scenes with Colette, I think, and Amanda Muggleton, who played Chrissy, she was lovely. These people were just so warm and explained everything to me, really took me under their wing.
Yeah.
Because it was really quite nerve-wracking. And also Maggie Kirkpatrick, lovely, lovely woman. She started, I think she started just before me.
Yeah.
In fact, she'd only been on the show a couple of weeks before me.
That's right.
And she was such a wonderful actress.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, the few episodes that I've been able to see, because I haven't been able to watch a lot, I look back and I think, gee, these people were such good actors. Val, Sheila Florence, Colette Mann, and Amanda. I should call them by their stage names, really, or people may not know who we're talking about.
Oh, no, the fans will know, definitely. The fans know everything. No. I think that's what sets Prisoner aside from a lot of shows. There was a lot of theatre actors that were on the show. They had theatre backgrounds, which really...
That's right. Yeah.
Made a difference. Yeah,
that's right. But yeah. They were able to play their characters very low-key, which was right for the television medium.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, one of my questions was about Colette Mann, because you had your first scenes with Colette interviewing her in the shoe factory. You worked in a shoe factory. You thought it was a fur factory.
I did. And you know, unfortunately, I really can't remember that scene that I had with Colette. Okay. But I'm so fond of her, and I developed a bond with her. So, yeah, obviously we did spend quite a bit of time together.
Yeah, fantastic.
We've pretty well covered the next question too, Matt. So
we have to, yes, sorry. Now, did you know the outcome of your character was going to die when you took the part? Or did you know you...
Well, I knew that if they didn't renew the character or they ran out of things to do with her, that they'd have to kill her off.
Yeah.
So I didn't know I was going to die in the Great Fire when I first took it on. Yeah. And and I can't remember exactly when they decided to take that script that way. I suppose, I have no idea. I have no idea. That I don't know.
No, that's okay.
But I was sorry. Once I really got into the swing of things, I loved being there. Obviously, you know, for the first couple of weeks, for the first two or three weeks whilst everything revolved around my character, that was a great time. That was lots of fun and I was busy. And then it probably got a bit, you know, when they would start a new storyline and bring someone else into the mix. And I think I went to work in the governor's office. Then that got a bit, a little bit dull and boring at times for me. But at least TV is a little bit, it seems to be more action on the video TV rather than film work, because I can remember. And that's probably why I actually always gravitated towards the stage and radio, which I loved back then in those days, because everything happened at once. You didn't have to wait around. These other mediums are very slow. TV, not so much, but definitely film and very tedious. That doesn't suit my personality. I love everything to happen at once. I'm very impatient. Probably why I've done so many different careers and had so many different moves.
Do you want to start? Yeah,
quick. I get bored and I have to change everything up.
That's true.
Next question. We've covered that one.
We've covered a few actually. So we'll go on to Ken. We've overlapped a little bit. That's okay. But Ken's got a question about when you first arrived in Wentworth with Patty Lawson.
I've just got to find it. Oh, yes. Logan framed Barbara for the fire at the factory, which she started for insurance purposes, and which killed Fred the night watchman by planting the rest of the money that he stole from the factory safe in her flat, leading her to be arrested for arson, theft and murder. She arrived at Wentworth with Patty Lawson. Tell us about your first scenes with Anna Harubi.
It was our first day, if I remember correctly. Well, it wasn't my first day on set, but that was the first time I met her. And look, I actually don't remember a lot, I have to be honest, but she was very shy. She was a very shy actress, very good actress, I thought. But she didn't speak a lot. And I've actually found this sometimes with actors and good actors over the past, that when they're maintaining their, certainly if there's, well, how shall I put this? I guess they're in their characters. They don't want to lose their characters. So if there's a break, like a recess, well, they often go off on their own. They don't really communicate or mix with the others because they don't want to lose their character.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And I do understand that. I used to, I found that a lot, and here I am skipping back too, but when I worked with Judy Davis, who, as I mentioned, started my brilliant career back in radio, she and we were together a lot there in the radio. We had a few, quite a few scenes just together. But, and then when we had a break, she really wouldn't talk to me. And I used to think, oh, doesn't she like me? Or, what, you know, what's wrong? But she would not lose focus. She would be, she would remain in her character all that time. And I mean, it's fantastic, really, I think, to have that intensity of focus. And these actors were totally professional in that way.
Wow.
And perhaps for myself, you see, I can never be perhaps so focused. I enjoy talking to other people. I enjoy the whole experience.
Yeah. Yeah, some of those actors get right into the character, don't they? And they can't break the character.
No, that's exactly right. And I remember the first time, you know, that I met Sam Neill. And sorry, I'm probably overlapping
all of,
but that was a film, Robbery Under Arms, when I first met Sam Neill. But he was, I'm sure he was a very nice man. He was just aloof, but I don't think it was so much aloofness as him just maintaining his character. And he after he'd finished his scenes, he would just go to his caravan and there he would stay. And then he would come out and to shoot his particular scene and then he'd go back again. And I do understand that. I mean, he probably wouldn't want to be mixing with all the cast and crew anyway. You know, he wasn't there to be Mr. Nice Guy to everybody. But, yeah, it's just a different way of seeing things, I suppose.
Yeah. Whereas someone could say as them being rude, but they're not. They're,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And offhand and, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And, yeah. When, for example, when we were doing radio plays too at the ABC and I remember Judy Davis, she wouldn't join us for lunch. And, you know, you'd have a lunch break of about, oh, probably an hour. And she'd just stay there actually in the studio all by herself. And we'd all go off and have lunch in the canteen and she'd stay there doing vocal exercises.
Wow. Did you ever do them in Melbourne as well, or they're always Adelaide, the radio plays?
They had new studios that they built in Collingwood, so they were all done there.
Wow. Yeah, we spoke to Wendy Playfair on this show and she'd done a lot of radio plays, Wendy, back in the day.
It's funny that it's sad really that that sort of thing doesn't happen anymore, but everything changes.
That sure does. Now at the start of Prisoner, you had a lot of scenes that you were sort of by yourself. Did you feel a bit alone at the time, that you weren't sort of mixed in with the cast? Or,
well, that's just how the medium is, I suppose, really, because you're only required in those scenes that you're in. And so if you're only in with another actor, you know, that's all that's called for the day or the morning or however long it will take, you know. So, yeah, in the beginning I met them all, I can remember that, but then after that you were only ever with the people that you were actually working with that day. Yeah. So it might only be one or two. There'd be a lot of cast members there that I just never met. I don't think I ever met. Now, who was the American actress? Canadian actress, was she, that played Bobby?
Maxine Clibbon-Gators.
Perhaps. She was delightful. I was looking at her the other night and I was thinking how I enjoyed her characterization. And anyway. Next question.
Okay. Barbara used the fact that Officer Steve Faulkner fancied her to manipulate him into helping her. Can you tell us anything of your memories of Wayne Jarrett, the late Wayne Jarrett?
Look, he was a lovely guy, and that's really all I can remember of Wayne. And it's sad that he's passed away. But no, look, I really can't remember. Would you like me to tell you the things that I can remember?
Yeah, sure. About people?
tell us about Sheila Florence.
That might be the best way to go. Yeah.
Sheila,
yeah. Now, she stands out in my mind because Sheila would always ad-lib. She was very good at ad-libbing. And, I was particularly a newcomer to the show. I wanted to have all my lines down pat, didn't want to do the wrong thing, wanted and deliver the right words to the right person as per script. And the few scenes, I didn't have a lot with Sheila, but I can just remember thinking to myself, she'd feed me a sentence and then I'd have to respond and I'd be thinking to myself, what am I going to say to that? That wasn't in the script. And, because she'd ad-lib. The rumours were that Sheila used to like to have a drink and I'm sure she, I don't know. Sure. Apparently she had a hip flask and then she'd, have that in the green room or whatever, disappear off set, have a little swig, come back. Maybe that was why she forgot her lines. I don't know. I didn't know her terribly well. I think she'd had a very sad life. I did hear that Sheila had lost all of her family, a lot of her family members anyway, in the war, in the London bombings. That was, I don't know, her parents, grandparents, I don't know. But that was just rumours that I'd heard at that time. She didn't have a great deal to say to me. I mean, and that's what I actually found with those people that have been in the actors that have been in Prisoner since the beginning. They were not easy to get to know. People like Val, good actress, but she would virtually only just nod to me, I guess, when I was first introduced, a nod. I don't think she meant to be offhand, but she was. But she's a very good actress. But I can understand that too. These people have been working closely together for 5 years and people like myself, actors like myself that just come and go, well, probably they feel, what's the point in making an effort? They'll be gone as soon as they get here anyway.
Yeah. Was that sort of like starting a new school for an actor that's just coming in for a few months?
Exactly like that. That's why you're really looking back. And, I was pretty young at the time too. So I so appreciated like the characters of Chrissy, Doreen, and who else was there? There's one more.
Mouse.
Chrissy, Doreen. Mouse was lovely too. They're all lovely girls. I do remember Juliet Newbold. And who did she play? She was a lovely girl. So. I don't think we really had any scenes together, but I met her. She was very kind.
You famously married a prime minister as well in real life, Paul Keating.
Pardon?
She married a prime minister, Paul Keating, in real life.
Oh.
Yeah.
Imagine that. I probably knew that but forgot that along with everything else I've forgotten. I tell you, I've forgotten more than I have.
That's okay.
I think.
We'll move on to a question about Ferguson's diaries. There's a little story here which is quite funny.
Yes, Ferguson's diaries seem to be taken very seriously by fans, as Val Lehman revealed on DVD audio commentary she did that One day she was walking in the street and an old lady crossed the road and said to her, "Ferguson's diaries are in the third drawer down of the filing cabinet in the gov's office." Her response was, "Yes, I know." And she said the lady was completely taken aback and asked her how she knew that. And Val replied, "Because I read the script." Did you ever have any strange interactions like that with fans when you were out and about?
Not really. And, I don't think too many people recognise me, quite frankly.
Oh, really?
Well, it's funny that, and, you know, I don't think I ever received fan mail from anyone in Australia that I'm aware of, but I did from overseas. So yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? No one really approached me. I can recall people staring and they were probably thinking, "I've seen that girl somewhere before," you know. But no one actually, ever approached me with any questions about the show, which is interesting. But it's funny, isn't it? Because just hearing that with Val Lehman, you know, people really believe that this is happening. This is like real life stuff. That's what amazes me. Yeah. I think that's great.
Yeah.
I think that's great, but that people can get so caught up in it that, you know, yeah, what were you doing? Why did you do that? I know it's all tongue in cheek, but it's great.
It's funny though. I mean, Ken and I were just talking about that before you came on, that, you know, some people believe it's real.
I know. They actually do. I actually do, but no, I don't think I was ever asked any questions about my character. But but remember, you know, maybe if I was in Melbourne at the time, perhaps. But in Adelaide, and perhaps that, I don't know, maybe Prisoner didn't have a big following in Adelaide. Who would know? And obviously Prisoner's had a much bigger following since it's Cell Block H, isn't it, in the UK?
Yeah. Over in America and the UK, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. In fact, I think it's done a lot more over there, hasn't it, than it ever did here.
Yeah, it's massive over there. Absolutely huge. Now, you were a part of, like, your final episodes were the Great Fire episodes, which are huge fan favourites and probably the biggest episodes on the show. Do you have any memories of shooting those ones, like the fire in the governor's office, your death? Anything you could
share? I was just on my own I can remember, and then I was just in that in the governor's office. It wasn't the governor's office. They just, you know, created a little room for a set because it had to be smoke-fueled, et cetera, et cetera, and the filing cabinet. And that's all I can recall. It was just full of smoke, I guess, the dry ice or whatever they used at the time. And and then I just died. So really, the start of the Great Fire, that was my only scene, just being in the governor's office, overcome by smoke, and plop,
diaries.
I'm dead. That's it. End of me. Never to be seen again.
Yeah. Well, you're out in the gardens in the body bag, but, you know, it wasn't you, obviously.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. So I wasn't even exposed to the technical side of the fire or any of that. You know, I didn't see any of it. It was just a room that looked smoky, and I just had to. I was asphyxiated.
Wow.
Good thing my little boys didn't see that at the time.
Yeah, very traumatic.
Back to you again, Matt.
Now, the character of Mouse was also killed off in the same episode as Barbara. Do you have any memories of Yenta? How do you pronounce her surname? Sobot, Ken? Is it Sobot?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Sobot.
Now, funny. I didn't realise that. She wasn't supposed to be. Patty was supposed to, I still remember the original script, she was going to continue on. I knew at that time, not when I first began the role in Prisoner, but I knew, I think I knew a few weeks into shooting that that I would be dead or I would die in the Great Fire. But I hadn't realised actually that they planned to kill off Paddy as well. And I hadn't realised, no, so I have no recollection of that at all. Actually, what this has done for me, I'm going to sit down and start watching all these if I can, if I can get them up, these series.
Yeah, wow.
Did you ever actually get to eat in the dining room? And can you tell us what you thought about the food if you did?
Well, I don't think I actually ever did, but isn't it funny? I don't remember eating. Probably if it had been lying around for ages, I wouldn't like it. I probably just didn't eat. Knowing me, I don't really recall. I don't think I was ever in the dining room. Can you ever recall seeing me?
I think you were a few times, but yeah.
Dining room?
A few times?
Yeah. Oh. And for me, loving food, I guess that was a very forgettable experience.
It would have been. My next question was about a behind the scenes story, but we've covered a lot of that. But I will ask, what was it like actually wearing the prison denim, the uniform? Do you remember that?
I remember they had a hard time finding something small enough to fit me. I think that was always their problem with me, finding something small. Yeah, I'm probably even smaller now, God forbid. You'll have to get a microscope out to see me soon. Yeah.
Now, it's been over probably 40 years since you've played the part. Does it feel that long? Does it feel like just the day that you're in prison?
Talking about it now, that's an interesting question, because talking about it now, it feels like yesterday, even though I can't remember a lot of it. You know, scenes flash by and, yeah, I can recall. And then, again, it almost seems like 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Yeah, it's really weird. It could be just like yesterday, and then it seems longer than 40 years ago. Seems like another part of my life. But maybe it's because I've done a lot in my life and a lot of different things too. So, that's a snapshot in time, but a wonderful snapshot in time. And, you know, one half of me now wishes that I'd focused on acting and that I hadn't, you know, given it up so quickly. But, you know, part and parcel of my personality, I think, you know, I am impatient. I used to get bored easily and I would like to change things up. And always have something different on the go. And I think I mentioned it to you when I was in film, though I had very small parts in Sarah Dane and Robbery Under Arms, I found that medium very tedious. Perhaps if I'd had a main part, I would have liked it, because then I would have been busy all the time. I would have been acting. I didn't like sitting around. And that's why stage work, radio work suited me so well, especially stage, because it was live. And just woe to go. Wow. And it was done. And I loved that. The continuity I loved. You don't get that, you see, in television film.
Yeah, that's true.
Have you ever watched the reimagining of Prisoner, Wentworth, and what do you think of it?
No, I haven't, and I would love to. And now that I've retired, I'm going to do that. No, I haven't. A friend of mine has and says I have to watch it. So I will do that. But no, I look forward to that. What's your opinion? What do you think of it?
Apparently, it's pretty graphic.
Is it?
I haven't seen it, but Matt has.
Oh, what did you think, Matt?
Yeah, I think it's great. Amazing. If you can, I think as a Prisoner fan, the Prisoner fans are like weird about it, but if you can separate the two, it's a great show. It's fantastic. It is graphic, and obviously they can do a lot more in that show.
Yeah, like
they do back in Prisoner because of the restrictions of what you couldn't do on TV back then.
Yeah,
pretty much everything.
So most of them just still like the original show. Is that right? As it was.
Well, I think what they've done is they've taken all the character names and put them into, you know, Wentworth, but not the same. It's all very different. So if you can
think of it
too, it's really good. It's great. I think it's great.
Well, I have to have a look at that. And and the old series as well. It's a pity I can't get those. It's funny, you know. Way back then, just after I'd finished filming, I wasn't interested in seeing any of it. In fact, when my episodes came on TV, and I can't remember how much later after I'd filmed them, they presented on TV, I don't know, a few months later, I didn't watch them. Well, I did watch the start, and then I was so horrified, as I said, because I thought I'd completely overacted and overplayed, and I hated myself on it that I didn't really watch. And now this is good that this has all come back to me, and now I'm really going to watch with great interest.
Yeah, and look, it still stands its time, Prisoner. You know, it still stands. It's terrific. I mean, it's amazing to rewatch it. And you just answered the first fan question too from Jan, who's our background producer. She did ask, did you watch the show after you left it and see your episode? So we've covered that. That's great.
Yeah, well, that's and I thought, but yeah, there you go. I didn't. But I tell you what, I'm enjoying seeing it now. And I don't think I realised how good those that, you know, like Maggie and Val and Sheila and Colette Mann and they were great actors. And it was quite iconic at that time, wasn't it? That whole series and seeing women in prison, you know. Yeah. I can see why it developed such a cult following.
Sure has.
The next fan question is from Mark Bryant. And he says, hi, Susan, you were in Prisoner during a fantastic era and played alongside all the big stars of the show, Maggie, Val, Sheila, Amanda, Colette, Patsy, Elspeth. The list goes on. Did it feel like you were part of something special filming across this period of the show? And was it peak Prisoner? It was peak Prisoner. And you were featured in episodes that elicit the most positive response from fans. What a great era to be a part of that show. So was it, did you feel that you were in a prime time of Prisoner?
Yes. I probably didn't realise it so much then as I do now. But
yeah.
Yes. I realise that more now. And, I think I was involved in a time where the Prisoner episodes, where it was really quite exciting. The script writing was good and at that time, and they had good plots. And, it kept people interested. And so, yeah, I was lucky to be a part of all that. As I said, it's funny, though, when you come into these shows, because it was also the same for me when I did an episode of Cop Shop, it's not easy coming into these shows that have been playing for quite some time, because you're always a newcomer. And they know that you're probably only going to be there for a few weeks. Cop Shop, I was only there for, I think I was filming for 2 weeks in Melbourne at the time for one episode. Prisoner was 3 months. And the rest of the cast, They know this. So it's hard to, it's quite cliquey. It was a cliquey group at the time, except for those lovely warm-hearted people like Maggie, but Maggie Kirkpatrick, who played the freak, as I said, Chrissy, Colette. They were just great. Anyway, yeah. So
next one is from Bonnie Davis Shacko, said she looks amazing. Talking about you. I'm so glad she has joined you both. I would love to know if Barbara had, if she'd had outlived the fire, where would Susan have liked to have seen Barbara go in the next storyline? Thank you for this great interview, Susan.
Yeah, well, now that's very interesting. Where could a character like Barbara go? Because she really, she was innocent, you know, of the crime, but she wasn't, because she was always just very eager to be in on a scheme, you know. She could manipulate and she was happy to be involved. So where could they have taken? I've often thought of that. I thought, why did they kill her off? But then I thought, well, what could I have done? Were they just going to leave me working in the governor's office? I mean, could I have done the dirty there somehow?
Yeah. What, plot an escape out of the office?
The books?
Yeah. That's true.
But, yeah, I think Barbara had really run her race.
Yeah.
But, it's wonderful having all these questions, because I would, you see, I didn't see Barbara as being such an interesting character. And I think that's what's great about all this and the fans, that they did.
Oh, they love Barbara, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Now, I should mention that Bonnie comes from the US of A.
Yeah, the one I was talking about that, yeah, I didn't realise she was Bobby in the series, yeah. She, fabulous actress.
Sorry, Bonnie Davis Shacko comes from the US. And this next person, Richard Newsom, is from the UK. He says would love to know about Susan's time in the UK.
Now, isn't that funny, because that's what I said before. It's rumor has it that I'm a British actress, but I'm not.
You're not.
And I didn't work in the UK, but see, perhaps that's all those years of speech and drama training, which made me act like a pom.
Well, we know you've been to Paris, so.
Yeah.
I didn't work.
That's funny.
I don't know. That's funny.
Next one from Ricky Brown said, could you please let Susan know that around 1991 she replied to my letter with a lovely long reply, which was amazing to receive. If I recall correctly, Susan mentioned she had been in nursing, then managed a cafe with her partner in South Australia, had two young sons at the time. I'm hoping all this is right from memory, although it might be a little bit jumbled over the years. Over watching the series, Susan has remained one of my favourite short stay characters, and she happened to feature in the best era of Prisoner. Rest in peace, Barbara.
Oh, that's so lovely. I do remember getting that letter too.
There we go.
I do remember getting that letter. That was very special.
Yeah, fantastic.
And, rest in peace, Barbara. Yeah. I agree. She's been resting for many years.
Yes.
We've got people from sending in questions from all around the world. This one is from Cyprus. Tessie Davey says, hey, Susan, do you ever watch the legendary Great Fire of Wentworth episode? Seeing as you had such a main part in the storyline with Barbara and the Freak's Diaries, which are in the top drawer of the Gov's office, as we established. Very such cool. Brilliant acting from you, one of my favourite gripping stories. And that's greetings from Tessie Davey in Cyprus.
I'm amazed. I'm absolutely amazed. So Prisoners showing in Cyprus.
All over the world.
I know, this is just, I mean, this floors me.
No, it's great.
It's fantastic. I think it's wonderful. And I thank you to all those people out there watching. And, it's great fun. It's really great fun.
M. Fripp said, I loved the whole Barbara Field storyline, one of the few innocent ones. Great scenes with both Wayne Jarrett and the fabulous Kirk Alexander. Could I ask how it was layering her character with equal innocence and manipulation?
Ah, yes. Well, good question. But, yeah, that's the challenging thing, isn't it? As I said, she was complicated because she was innocent and, a bit upmarket, so to speak, I suppose. But then, you know... manipulative and controlling in many ways. And I tried to do my best. But yeah, I, so as I said, overacting in the beginning, but I think I improved as I went along. And but did I like Barbara? No, I didn't like her character. I didn't like her at all.
I thought she was great.
I wanted to be someone else.
from Duncan Beatty from Edinburgh, Bonnie, Scotland. Did Susan have any idea when she joined the cast that her character's actions would lead eventually to the Great Fire? Also, why didn't Barbara make photocopies of those diaries?
Yeah, that was a good question. Barbara wasn't as smart as she thought she was. I thought that was a very good question. They did have photocopiers back then.
Yeah, they did.
They did. And what else did she ask me? Was there another question there?
Did you have any idea that you would lead eventually to the Great Fire?
Not in the beginning, no. Not in the beginning. But as I said, I think they just ran out of storyline and what to do with me. Yeah. Because I do remember, you know, as I said, for the first 2 or 3 weeks, the show focused very much around me and my character and Anna Harubi and all the new ones that came in. But then after that, then someone else comes into the show because you have to keep the interest going and then you have to fade into the background. I would have liked to have been in the laundromat, actually, that with all the other women. That would have been good.
Running the press, yes.
Yes, on the press, hearing the gossip.
Yeah. Stuart Kerry said, hi, Susan. I'd like to ask if you are still in contact with any of your former cast members from Prisoner and what you think about the show's continued fan following. I really think your appearance and the story around Barbara was some of the show's best episodes. That's from Stuart in Nottingham.
Oh, thank you, Stuart. Thank you. No, actually, I don't see any of the cast now.
Yeah.
Actually, perhaps I might, if you're still going to do a meet and greet, as you suggested, might happen at the end of this year or the beginning of next year.
Definitely.
Yeah, I'll get to meet some of the, catch up with some of the cast members then. But no, I haven't. I did go and see a stage play that Amanda Muggleton was in. I can't even remember the name now. But, yeah, no, I don't see any of them now. I think we're all too old. All gone different ways, doing different things, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Continuing our globe-trotting questions, I think this one's from Northern Ireland, from Raymond O'Toole. Oh, my God, yes, this is exciting. I actually was thinking during Anna Harubi's interview that it would be great to hear from Susan, Barbara. My question is, This question comes all the way from Northern Ireland, by the way. How do you feel being part of such an integral piece of what many fans would describe as being the peak of Prisoner, the great fire and the build-up to it?
Yeah, well, I feel very honoured, actually. And, I do, because it was a unique series at that time. And especially, you know, because I gave up acting up. I shouldn't have, but there you go. I won't rehash all that again. So I'm glad I at least had that experience. I remember way back then there were sort of many purists, purist actors, if you like, Shakespearean actor types, I guess, that said Prisoner, you know, I wouldn't have a bar of it. And if you were a serious actor, you wouldn't either. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you get these opportunities in life and you don't know, you make the most of it. So it came my way. I loved it. It was fun and iconic and, And so I'm very grateful that I was a part of that series.
And I know we've talked about the fire episodes a lot, and there's a few, you know, the fan questions about, I mean, they are pretty much.
Yeah, I love the fire. And as I said, I was in it like 3 seconds.
Darren Hembro said, yes, oh my God, yes. Barbara Fields was an awesome and brilliantly acted, but too short of a character. I cannot believe you have Susan on this interview series. I would love to know what it was like to be in the governor's office as the wooden frame fell inwards and the whole lot of them went up. I cannot wait for this interview. Well, you've told us about the what it was like in the office, so...
Flames didn't touch. So I don't know technically how they would have done that, or just probably superimpose or something like that at a later date, because I was just there with the smoke, not the fire.
A lot of dry ice. This one comes from...
Probably know more.
Yes, I do know a lot about dry ice, but they're stories for another time. Andrew Birch says, OMG, never thought this would happen. So little info on Susan. When Barbara kept saying, I don't believe, I'm not quite sure what he means there. Believe it, when the police found the money at the... I think he's not sure about Barbara kept saying, I don't believe, when the police found the money at the back of the sofa. My question is your funniest moment from your time on Prisoner. Thank you. Now, probably dry ice would have a fair bit to do with the funniest moment.
Yes, that one, the dry ice, but I think pretty much when the boys came and they were so upset, I mean, they were upset, crying, thinking their mum was in prison. That's probably one of the funniest, because they saw all the sets I wish I could remember more. As I said, I have to really get in front of that TV and start watching.
Greg Steele, this is just a comment saying, oh, my God, what a scoop. Great actress and a great but sadly short-lived character in Prisoner.
Now I think I've lost sound a bit.
Still there? I can see.
There.
Okay.
There we are. Sorry, I didn't hear that one, Matt.
Oh, no, that's okay. It was just a comment from Greg saying, oh, my God, what a scoop. Great actress and a great but sadly short-lived character in Prisoner. And there's a lot more comments like that on the...
That's too kind. People are very kind. And as I said, it's completely overwhelming, actually, to think that there's this interest. I mean, I had no idea, and I can honestly say that I had no idea.
No, huge.
Jay Shaw says, and now we're being sent to Coventry, England. I knew I should have thrown that sickie. I'm really looking forward to watching this interview. Can I ask Susan, what was the most positive thing about being on Prisoner, and did you ever get recognised as an actress when you were nursing? Thanks from Jay Shaw.
Yes, well, I think I answered that last one. I was never really recognised. It's a funny thing. People would recognise me from television commercials and stop me in the street, but never from Prisoner. Yeah, that's interesting. And what was the other question? Just one of my happiest memories, funniest memories, what was it?
No, he was just asking about, did you ever get recognised as an actress when you were...
No, never. As I said, people would stare sometimes. So perhaps they were thinking, oh, I've seen her somewhere before. Who is she? Yeah. They didn't ask. They didn't stop me in the street. It's not like that. But you would expect that because, really, I wasn't on it for very long. You know, 3 months is not very long.
But I think because you played a very iconic character in the very big episodes of the era. So I think that's why people would think that you were... You know, and I probably think the same too, that you would have been well recognised playing such an iconic part in the show. Nearly bringing it down.
I've just had a recollection. I know Telethon, in the days that Telethon were run and aired on TV down in Adelaide, Channel 7. So I was invited to that Telethon fundraising appeal for the Children's Hospital, along with other celebrities, I suppose, at the time. They had Kamal there and, I can't remember everyone's name now, but so many at the time. And that's when, and they also had, and we were out in the Channel 10 car park at the time, and there were lots of people, and that's when I was recognised there. So I was signing autographs there at the Telethon appeal. So in that instance, but if I was out in the street, perhaps back then I was wearing sunnies and hat too. They didn't recognise me. When I was that young, I didn't need it. I do now. I do today with my hay fever red eyes.
Oh, no, thank you. That is it. So thank you so much for coming on and talking about your time on Prisoner and your life and career. We really appreciate it because we've never been able to see anything about you online. So it's been an absolute honour.
Oh, thank you, Matt. It's been my pleasure. And I have to say thank you to you for your persistence in chasing me up, because this wouldn't have happened. And once you do get to my age, things like this don't happen very often, you know. So I'm very grateful for this opportunity and to speak to fans, and I'm very grateful that they enjoyed the character, that they loved the character, and I thank them and you and Ken. And it was a special time because not too many people get those opportunities.
Yeah, no, thank you. Is there anything you'd like to add before we wrap up, Ken?
Just harking back to an earlier conversation about favourite subjects at school. I'd like you to know that I've hardly done any algebra during this interview.
Or maths.
Yeah, I think you would be on the same path as me, Ken.
Absolutely.
More of the creative bent. Well, obviously now. So good luck with your painting and your writing. I would love to write too, but that's another story for another day.
Yeah. No, I'm just going to wrap up. That was episode 52 of Talking Prisoner. Please like and subscribe to our YouTube channel and share this interview all over the net. And it will also be available on all the podcast platforms, including Google, Amazon, and Spotify, and everywhere else you get your podcasts from, and the talkingprisoner.com website. Thank you so much.